2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at the 8th verse. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, 500 years ago, next Wednesday, the sun rose on a notice posted on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. That notice began the furor which culminated in the dramatic stand of Martin Luther before the Emperor and Princes of the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. But that trial in the town of Worms was not the first of its kind. In about 1160, some 400 years before, there was a well-to-do merchant in Lyon, France, who asked two friendly priests to translate the Bible for him. He then gave all his possessions to the poor and began to preach the gospel. His name was Peter Waldo, and his followers were called Waldenses. They were known for their good Christian behavior, but they claimed that not only the priests, but all Christians had the right to teach, admonish, and comfort one another. Pope Lucius III excommunicated them, and from then on they endured persecutions fiercer than those by the heathen against the early Christians in Rome. Several hundred years later, in England, there was a professor at the University of Oxford by the name of John Wycliffe. He and his students translated the Bible into English. Pope Gregory was furious with Wycliffe, but could not silence him. After reading the Bible, Wycliffe stated openly that Christ is the head of the church and that the papacy fits the description of Antichrist in Scripture. Wycliffe died in 1384, and 31 years after his death, he was excommunicated by the Council of Constance. That was the same council where John Huss, a professor at the University of Prague in Bohemia, was imprisoned and chained to the wall of his cell. Among other things, he had preached that indulgences are useless, that Christ, not the Pope, is the head of the church, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that the Bible is higher than all the doctrines of the church. On July 6, 1415, Huss's 46th birthday, he was tied to a stake and asked one last time to recant. When he refused, the fire was lit. Why all this about Waldo, Wycliffe, and Huss? To give us a better feel for the danger which confronted the young monk Martin Luther when he stood before Emperor Charles V in 1521. And was asked to recant. His life and those of his friends were quite literally at stake. Yet he remained adamant. He refused to take back what he had taught. Where did he get such strength? Had the danger subsided since 1415, when Huss was burned? Hardly. 9 years later, Thomas Bilney, the father of English Lutheranism, was burned at the stake. And John Frith, an Oxford scholar, suffered martyrdom 3 years later in 1533. Tyndale's New Testament It was a translation into English. It was banned, and he himself was burned at Louvain 3 years later. Simply the reading of Tyndale's Bible was sufficient cause for imprisonment in those days, and one old man was burned for the crime of reading the Bible on private walks through woods and meadows. That was in England. Would we ever have the strength to do the same thing in the face of such opposition? To continue reading our Bibles? 2 Timothy was the Apostle Paul's last letter, exhorting young Pastor Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So how does he strengthen Timothy? He tells him to remember. Remember Jesus Christ, the offspring of David. And so he traces Jesus' human genealogy, reminding us that Jesus was a true human being, tempted as we are. He went through what we go through, and he understands us in all our troubles. Never again do we need to think that we are alone. What a comfort. But more than that, we are reminded that Jesus was a true man for a purpose, namely to be our substitute and representative before God. He stood trial not just before the rulers of this world, but before God himself. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, and the punishment that brought us peace was inflicted upon him. Now, no matter what happens, we are God's dear children. And finally, when Jesus is called the seed of David, we're reminded that his coming, his living and dying, were all promised from earliest times. And in Christ Jesus, God kept his word. This is the same God who says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I will be with you always." And he keeps his word. Paul tells Timothy, "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect," and would have him also remember all those whose faith in Jesus Christ makes them children of Abraham, the father of believers. For the sake of all believers and all who will yet become believers, we want to give a clear and proper testimony to Jesus Christ and never to deny him before people. And at the head of it all, Paul says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. By his resurrection, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power. Even though he was imprisoned and crucified, went through sufferings that we cannot imagine, yet he did go through them and came out the other side, and his victory assures us of victory also, for he died our death. Here is something to strengthen our feeble knees and lift up our limp hands, bring rest to our souls, and peace before God throughout our life. Amen."